Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds True presents The Matrix.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com. Author of the Prayer Prescription series and creator of the Uprooting Our Fear of Death Google Hangout webinar series. My guest today is Brian Cohen, author of 1,000 Creative Writing Prompts, Volume 2, More Ideas for Blogs, Scripts, Stories, and More. Also, Brian is author of 1,000 Creative Writing Prompts, The Post-College Guide to Happiness, also TED Saves the World. Brian has published over 30 books and has sold more than 20,000 copies across the board. Wow, that's pretty impressive, Brian. Welcome. How are you this evening?
Thank you. Oh, I'm doing great. It's nice and frigid in Chicago.
And windy.
And windy. Always windy.
Always windy. Brian, what started you on the road as a creative writing mentor?
Well, it's interesting. I think that a lot of people who want to start teaching in any area, they feel like they definitely need some kind of certification, and in some cases you do, obviously. But I think sometimes you need to give yourself permission and just go out and do it. And I started like a lot of people do in this day and age. I started with a blog. My blog is buildcreativewritingideas.com. And I started just kind of trying to inspire myself and others. I figured if I learned things about inspiration and taught them immediately, they would stick with me and potentially help others. And That was kind of my whole start into this about 5 years ago.
It was was there a desire to help people break through a creative block, as it were?
Definitely. I think that it's very hard when you're first starting out writing, or if you've been writing a long time and it hasn't ever really clicked. There's a lot of resistance there. There's a lot of things that hold you back from trying to write as often as you want, whether it be the circumstances you have going on in your life, or you sit down, you have the time, but for some reason you want to go clean the kitchen instead, and it keeps you from using that time that you have. And I've found that over the years, I've met a lot of people who are in that boat. They have something blocking them, and it's been great as a mentor to point people to my website, to talk to them directly, to classes on the subject. And I think it can help when you really work on figuring out the root cause of what's blocking you.
Well, do you think there's one overriding reason for these sorts of blocks that stand out the most for you?
No, I don't think so. I think that everyone's kind of got their own different life that has led to their own particular brand of circumstances. I mean, if I could say there was a number one reason right now, it would be the joys of technology. Cell phone interruptions and dinging emails and constantly being connected to work. I find that for me and for a lot of people that I've spoken with, those are just crippling to try to concentrate, because you need to focus, get into that flow state, and there's nothing that'll stop you from flow and then getting that daily email from Target.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It seems that it's technology, like you say, technology in general, that kind of speeds up the mind. And for you to get into that flow of writing, you have to slow down, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I completely agree.
No TV, no internet.
Oh, yeah.
All of that, nothing. Unplugging completely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think one of the most popular posts, or at least one of my favorite posts on my website is just about those distractions. And my recommendations for all of the potential distractions pretty much comes down to unplugging everything and leaving your house if possible.
Mm-hmm. And where do you recommend people go?
Well, I think there's a lot of different places you can go, and each town, city has its own positive places you can write. I love going to quiet coffee shops or libraries or I like a little background noise when I work, and mm-hmm. I think that just even like a little Whole Foods restaurant off to the side of the market. I think that anywhere you can sit down, especially if you're just writing on paper and pencil, anywhere that will let you sit.
Yeah. And it seems also, it comes to mind that writing with your hand across the page is more helpful to connecting to your idea than, say, typing it out on a computer. I'm sure that there are exceptions to that, but.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, it's slower to write by hand, but I've definitely read a lot on the power of handwriting, and I've seen studies that say it's good for the brain, especially cursive writing, because you're mm-hmm. actually connecting the letters. That being said, it's been a while since cursive writing for me, but I've heard that it's very helpful for creativity.
Well, I would think it would go under the same category as playing the piano. That they say that the younger you teach a child to play the piano, it really strengthens the brain development. And I think there's the same kind of brain development that takes place when you're writing with your hand.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's all connected. I know that music was a big part in my upbringing. I played in the concert band starting, at the age of 9 and played the clarinet. I wanted to play the saxophone, but they told me I was too small and couldn't handle the weight. But it was good. It was learning those notes, thinking in that different way, because music is just another language. It can't help but strengthen your other language skills.
That's right. And you could always take up the saxophone now if you wanted to, right?
This is true. I I'd love to. When I get a little bit more time, I'd love to pick up the saxophone.
That sounds like fun. So it must be very inspiring to work with children. And I noticed that you do work with children, and they're so naturally creative that they certainly don't have writer's block at the younger ages, do they?
No, and that's what's great about it. It's inspiring to see kids working off of my writing prompts, and I've had parents send me pictures of their kids scribbling away, and it's just an amazing feeling. And you're right. I mean, that's kind of what they say when you feel like you've been out of the creative game for a while. Try to kind of get yourself back into that headspace, get that imagination back that you had as a kid, and when you could play with a box and get as much enjoyment out of it as an actual $75 toy out of the box.
Well, yes, and dancing and drumming and once again playing a musical instrument and combining all of the arts helps the not only the creative rights, the creative process, but the ability to come up with ideas and put them on paper.
Agreed. 100%, definitely.
Now, of course, when you're working with people who have so-called grown up, the inner critic is very, very much a part of what people experience. What is your, how do you help people work through that inner critic demon sometimes, you know, the inner critic that sits on the shoulder and scolds just like their mother used to do and all this sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, well... I have him too. The inner, we all have the inner critic. But the way that I've tried to help people with my work is I've found that questions are very, very helpful. I like to think of the brain as kind of like, you know, just a computer. And when you are programming any computer, I've never really done much computer programming myself. But the little I have done, I know that when you start something, you put a bracket at one end, you need that bracket at the other end to finish whatever, if it's an HTML link, if it's whatever. And the great thing about questions, and I use questions in almost all of my writing prompts, when you ask somebody a question, that bracket, it starts that thought in the brain, and the brain desperately wants to answer it. It wants to end that bracket. It wants to finish its computer program. And if you give someone a question that's interesting or fun or humorous, they are going to want to start writing that down or speaking it out loud or whatever, but they're not just, it's going to bug them if they don't start writing. So the question actually helps them to start the pencil moving as opposed to just looking at a blank screen. It really helps them to just get jump started. And then from there, they can start working on their own stuff or integrating whatever they have written into a project that they're really interested in.
Yes, in your book you said that the brain does not like to, you know, just have a question out there without answering it. It just has to answer any question. It's almost like a kind of reflex or a habit that needs to be that has been cultivated over many years.
Yeah,
An example here of some of the questions. As you say, every one of your writing prompts are in the form of a question. So I just kind of randomly opened up here, and it says, number 73, describe your ideal Sunday morning. When would you get up? What would you do? And how would you feel while doing it? And my gosh, you know, that could take you into all kinds of memories and of Sunday mornings because people notoriously, you know, at least back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, had to spend time with family. I don't know how much that is. I would hope that's still happening.
I'm sure that with many families it is the same, yeah.
Yeah, and you know how it is. It may not be pleasant. So these sorts of things come up.
Yeah. Hopefully it's pleasant for most, but yeah. And the thing about these kind of, and I'm glad you picked that one because that one really illustrates a point I wanted to make, that different people are going to answer that question very differently.
Yes.
And you could even you could have the same prompt this year and answer that prompt the following year, and the same person could answer that completely differently. And that's what I love about these.
I know everybody. Well, I was telling you before the call that I'm in a creative writing class, and she asks us a prompt, and everybody answers completely different. It's just totally amazing. Now, here you have the 1960s, so this would be good for the baby boomers to ignite their need to answer questions. And here's one.
Oh,
in what ways would a civil rights rally in the 1960s be different from one today? If you had been your current age back then, would you attend such a rally? Why or why not? And, of course, whether somebody ever attended a rally or not, even in their 60s, whatever, would be kind of like, would be unnecessary to as to whether they could answer that question or not. Here's one. You've been drafted to go into the Vietnam War. Well, all of my friends have stories like you would not believe about that.
Oh, I can imagine.
And then you go on, how do you react to this news? Will you report to your new post or try to flee the country? And why? I love that question because, the stories that I have heard, and we're still telling them, because a friend of mine just celebrated, I think he said 50, yeah, it was had to be 50 years where he was raised a Quaker, and he was applying for conscientious objector, and he had that background pretty well sewed up. But it still looked like he was going to go to jail. And at the very last minute, he was expecting to go, and they just said, you're free, you know, go home. But it was a long process for him, and he was telling the story on the anniversary that this was all happening. So, yeah, you could really get some stuff going on that one.
That's amazing. And obviously not everyone's going to have a story like that, but – that's why there's 1,000 of these in each of these books. And I hope that people find dozens that really strike a nerve. And, I mean, it sounds like your friend could write a whole book about that.
He really could. And then you have the people who idealized the 60s. So how in what ways would your life be different if you were born in the 1960s? And there's a lot of kids nowadays who actually think that that was a great time to be alive. Well, you know, it was and it wasn't. It was a difficult time for all of us. And I would pinpoint the reason as being the assassinations. All of the assassinations made us all kind of rebels without a cause. So, but the kids, they listened to the music, and the music really was pivotal to our generation. And I'm always surprised to hear the music being played everywhere now. You go into very conservative places or even into nursing homes and you hear this music. It's hysterical. I think that is
really funny.
Wild. So it sounds to me that you really cover all bases when it comes to these prompts, and that really helps people to unravel their ways of looking at life.
Yeah, and unravel them and put them out there. Start and use those stories, the experiences they have. And not all of these are experience-based. Some of them are more fantasy or hypotheticals. But, I mean, a lot of these are hypotheticals too. But just use them to start writing, If people say, I don't know what to write about, and these are kind of these are the tools that can tell them, no, actually, you have so many stories to write about that you could start writing today.
Oh, yes. There are no excuses. Just do it, right? Take action.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Now, what are your suggestions for staying motivated? Because that's a tough one for people.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you. In fact, this week or the last couple of weeks, I've been on more of the business side of my writing platform. I've been doing a lot of formatting and editing, and I love writing. It's that other stuff that comes with being a self-published author. It can really wear you down. And I find that one of the keys for me is to really have some clear goals I write a to-do list and my short and long-term goals. I write it out by hand every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Those goals will change over time, but I can see right there, I will write this amount of new words every single day, and I can see I will finish this project by this certain day, and it keeps it in my head, and it helps me to remember why I'm doing it, because when it's 2:30 and you get that feeling and you don't want to do anything anymore, it really helps to have it written in your own handwriting. It's almost like that would hold up in a court of law that you actually wanted to achieve this a few hours ago. And
right.
It really helps to make you remember, oh, this is important to me. It's less important than taking a nap or watching this movie or
right.
talking on the phone or anything else.
Now, do you use visuals to help you stay motivated? And for instance, mind mapping or say, I've heard people cutting pictures out of magazines that speak to them, and then they make collages. Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
I have made one of those collages. I know a lot of people refer to that as a vision board,
right.
where they take kind of what they want going forward, and they put it up there for everyone to see. I think mine is in view right here. I can look over there, and I think it is helpful. I think that you have to be in the right mindset, because I haven't done mind mapping, but I know that with vision boards, it's a spiritual practice. You are kind of picturing what you don't have now and assuming that in the future it will manifest in your life if you keep a good open mind about it and you keep positive. And a lot of people don't really have that kind of spiritual connection to their goals, but I think it can be a very powerful tool that a lot of people will just say is a bunch of hooey, and they'll keep moving on. But for the people that have used it and had success with it, I think it's too powerful to ignore.
Oh, yes. And then they say that they kind of forget about it maybe, and then 5 years down the road, they notice that everything they had on that vision board has come true.
Yep.
Well, yeah, what you just said about having a spiritual connection with your goals, I think that is an amazing statement. Because most people think of goal setting as a kind of cut and dried business-like approach to, you know, your life, to success
yeah.
and all this sort of thing. But really, having a spiritual connection with your goals is a really beautiful way to look at it. And that can really deepen your awareness, making your goals more of an inner part of your life, as opposed to a goal that you think somebody else wants you to have or what somebody else told you to do.
I completely agree. And thank you. I think that's been a big change for me. And it, over the, when I started blogging and when I started working on creativity, it's amazing how really connecting to what you want, and it not just being about you, it being about something bigger and something greater. I've found that's something that pushes me when nothing else will, when I'm feeling completely burnt out, and I remember, this is about more than you. This is about helping people, and this is about connecting with your true purpose. And when all else fails, the people who have that kind of foundation, they'll work that extra half hour doing what other people aren't willing to do. And
right.
I think it it's definitely helped push me. I think I need to tap into a little of that these couple of weeks of formatting that I have ahead of myself. But
I know what that's like now. But also this whole mindset of having a spiritual connection with your goals would be enough to break through writer's block, I think. That kind of goal setting would break through writer's block.
I completely agree. I definitely think that when you try to forget all these silly things that get in your way and you realize this is a bigger thing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. It'll break through a lot of barriers, most definitely.
Yeah, yes. As opposed to just kind of doing it because you think you have to. You're doing it because you are compelled by an inner, an inner majesty, as it were, that wants you to make a difference in this world, who wants you to become an unstoppable force, and who wants you to also do it in such a unique way that you are being yourself, not somebody else.
Definitely. I agree.
Well, I noticed that you were talking about burnout on your website. How does burnout relate to writer's block?
Well, I think about burnout. When I think about burnout, I think about trying to push yourself a little bit too hard. And a few years back, I was trying to write 2,500 words per day towards my fiction. Well, not just towards my fiction, but towards any of my self-published projects. And I was doing it every day, trying to do it for 365 straight days. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a writer by trade with freelance, so I tend to write a couple thousand words a day anyway for blogs and whatnot. So I was logging 5,000, 6,000 words a day for, I don't know, I didn't make it the whole year, but I made it through about 200 days. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of words, and eventually it can wear on you. And I think that my wife has recently taught me the value of recharging. And I've not always, sometimes I've been more prone to power through something than to listen to my body, listen to my brain when it's saying, Brian, you've had enough this week. You need to meditate, or you need to watch something, not just some junk television show, but something you enjoy. You need to read some deep words that will help to inspire you. Sometimes you can push yourself too much. And you have to recognize that.
To be regained, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Now, recharging, getting back to that. So, everybody would have their own ways of recharging. But I would think that getting out and exercising, moving the body, in fact, sitting and writing, or sitting, period, for any too long a time, like for long stretches of time, is really not healthy. You know, it's not good for the body.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good to get up after, even they say 20 minutes, and I know that 20 minutes is a good time to just get up and move around even take a walk. And walking is probably one of the best forms of exercises that there is, because you're going with the natural rhythms of your body, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And drinking
and
a lot
exercise.
Of water, you know?
Yeah.
You need to drink water.
Yeah. I mean, everything that goes along with a healthy diet and routine is positive for creativity.
Yes. And not getting enough rest, and not moving your body, and not getting enough fluids to drink, and there's probably a whole list of other things, can really actually mess up your health.
Agreed.
Let alone create burnout. That's what we're talking about in this. That burnout is something that is a delicate balance, and it's easy to fall into it because it sounds like you really have been a person who excels in whatever you do, and sometimes that, and probably often for you, that had required some long hours of work. And just losing yourself in that. Yeah, losing yourself in the work, but in the end that may not work for you, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, I totally agree. And in my day-to-day routine, I build a lot of exercise into that. I actually have a laptop stationary bike called a Fit Desk, and I put my laptop, it used to have rubber bands that went around the laptop, but those kind of broke. So I really just position carefully on top of this kind of foam brick that comes with the bike, and you sit and type, you work on your bike while you're going. And I do some interval training while I'm writing freelance articles. I'll go slower for 4 minutes, fast for 4 minutes for an hour. And I work up a little sweat in my apartment. And in the afternoons, I'll walk out to my favorite coffee shop, which both gets me away from distractions and gets me about a 3/4 of a mile walk in both ways. And when you build it in like that, when you make it part of your routine, it really can help to stave off frequent burnout in the health-related ways.
You know, it is a mind, as I mentioned the word mindset, that it's a mindset to turn failure into success, which alone enhances the creative process. You know, the more positive you can train yourself to be, and the more you do rewire your brain to move away from the old belief systems and assumptions that we were all raised with and society has handed down to us, and the more we can break through these assumptions, mindsets, and rewire our brain, the creative process it loves that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking my language, Kate. Everything you're saying is stuff that I've either worked on or need to work on, and it can be
helpful. Constant, I mean, it's a process.
Yeah.
As
yeah. And you have to keep working on it. You can't just, what was that?
Yeah. You have to keep at it. You know, you have to remind yourself and create a spiritual connection with everything that you do, actually, not just your goals, but with everything.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Now, how does gratitude enhance the creative process?
Well, I think that, first and foremost, you need to be grateful that you have stories to tell. You need to be grateful that you are, most people who want to write at some point in their lives were either told or understood themselves that they actually can write. And being grateful for your own gifts, first and foremost, is just a huge part of any creative person's process, but also being grateful for the people who support you. My parents have always been very supportive of any creative things that I've done. A lot of my friends, I did a lot of theater in college, and so there were lots of crazy, funny, creative people that I was always surrounded with, and I was always grateful for pulling from them. And I think that with anyone, if you can find ways to be grateful for the time that you have to write, instead of, let's say, one person has half an hour every morning to write every single day. One person is going to write for those 30 minutes. Another person in the same situation is going to just whine about not having enough time to write and not write during that half hour every day. So the grateful person is the one who will succeed in that scenario.
Right. That's so true. And to so many people think 30 minutes isn't enough, and some people think 30 minutes is too much. I was going to ask
sometimes
you
sometimes it feels like it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what is your latest project?
Oh, well, I'm really excited about two of the things I'm working on. The thing I'm all the formatting and everything, I'm actually kind of going back through, you mentioned earlier, I have over 30 books on Amazon, and I'm going back through and really linking them together better. I'm making sure that if you finish one book, you can't help but see what else I have out there. And I'm actually making several box sets of my work.
Great.
And I recently released a box set which includes the latest book, The 1000 Creative Writing Prompts Volume 2, but also Volume 1, a book on writing characters, a book on the seasons, and a book on holidays. And that box set has 5,000 prompts in it. And,
oh, you are amazing.
Thank you. I didn't come up with the
great.
Idea myself, but...
5,000 writing prompts. Whoa. That's what you said,
think,
right? 5,000.
Yeah. And Amazon estimates that it would, if it were in print form, which it's not, I may make it in print form at some point, it would be over 800 pages.
Wow.
So,
well,
that's
so
one
it's
of the
in,
projects.
Right now
I'm
it's in
on.
Digital? It's in digital format right now, like Kindle? Or?
Yep. It is available on Kindle. I'm going to start working on getting it up on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and the rest of them. But I have barely done any promotion for it other than putting links to it in the back of the individual books that are part of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already getting a little traction for it, which is great, which is
always great.
Definitely.
And you can use this radio show also to get the word out about these wonderful projects that you're doing, and people will be able to hear your voice and relate even more to you than they have already. And, you know, it's all part of the process. That's for sure.
Oh, I completely
agree.
And
obviously we don't always have to be inspired to write. That's another erroneous idea that people have, that you have to be inspired.
Waiting for magical inspiration. Oh, I used to think that way too.
Yes, yes. So did I.
Sometimes
it's
just you don't always feel like going to the gym, but if you go to the gym every day and work out, it makes a difference. And it's the same thing with writing. Right now I'm working on a new series of fiction novellas all centered around a wise, knowing female professor who helps students kind of find their way in different areas like love and fear and creativity. And I'm writing every morning a 1,500-word chapter. And I've been doing this since January 1st. And we're not far into it, and I've already had a couple of days where I did not feel like doing it, but I did it. I churned it out. It was done. If it's not good, I'll edit it later. But at least it's on paper.
Yes, you're not letting that inner critic to stop you.
Oh yeah, I think it was what is her name? Anne Lamott, who said, write crappy first drafts, and I think it's great advice. It's great advice.
It is. Well, Brian, we have come to the end of our time together, and I have really, really enjoyed myself, and
I think you probably have too.
I'll send you the link to this, and you can do with it as you wish. And
fantastic.
Many, many good tidings to you, and good luck, and great success, and enjoy yourself and all that great thing. Take care of yourself above all.
Thank you. Same to you, of course. It's been great. I really appreciate you letting me be a part of things, and it's Always fun talking with someone on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So blessings to you, Brian. Thank you so much.
Same to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.